Matthew chapter 6, we continue this week, week number 3 of this 4-week series on the Lord's Prayer, and we'll be looking today specifically at verses 11 and 12, but I will, as I have been doing, read the entire Lord's Prayer, and if you feel led, read it aloud with me. We'll begin in verse 9. Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Thank you, Lord, for this prayer, this model prayer. Teach us now, Holy Spirit, we ask, that we might understand more what is to be our attitude and our posture before our God as we come bringing our petitions for our needs. We know that you're a God who cares about our needs and knows each and every one of them before we do. Thank you for being such a great, loving and caring Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is just stupid. Click. I'm pretty sure those were my dad's exact words as he raised and then lowered the Avery Family Entertainment gavel, also known as the TV remote control, after just 5 minutes, if that, of the first Simpsons episode, circa 1989-90, somewhere in there. The Cosby Show had run its course, the series had ended, we were desperate for a family show to watch, you know, something. Oh, we've been seeing these advertisements for this animated show, it looks kind of funny, let's check that out. Well, we checked it out, and Dad gave the verdict, no, The Simpsons will not be watched in this house. And, you know, but even after that verdict was handed down, he didn't change the channel when Simpsons previews came on. Okay, so we'd still be watching the same channel other days of the week, and they'd have previews of the upcoming Simpsons episode, and so we would see those. And I remember one episode in particular, it just really struck me. The Simpsons family was being, they were being featured in a local news story. I don't even remember the whole storyline or the context, just a preview. So anyway, the TV cameras are there in the home, the family is gathered around the dinner table for supper, and the cameras are rolling, and the local minister is there eating with them, and Homer, the dad, leans over and says, "Bart," the son, the pre-adolescent son, "Bart, would you like to say grace?" And so they all fold their hands and bow, and Bart begins, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. Amen." My dad was right. He was right. And for 25 years, The Simpsons is still going strong, all right? 25 years on, they've not aged. And I have yet to watch an entire Simpsons episode. Never have. But you know what? I can't tell you how many times over the last 25 years I've thought about Bart's prayer. God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. And each time I do think about that, I chuckle a little bit, and I feel bad. But I guess it's because, like any joke, no matter how irreverent, there's always a little nugget of truth in there. Bart was right. Yes, they spent their money on the food. They went to the store and bought the food and brought it home and cooked it and prepared it. He was right about that. But he was wrong to not be thankful for it, to not give thanks to God for it. So today, as we cross the midway point of the Lord's Prayer, we notice a shift in the prayer. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer call upon God to do things on His own behalf for His own glory. We've been over the last 2 weeks looking at the first three petitions of the prayer. And God is being asked by us to do things on His own behalf, for His own glory. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. We want Your name to be glorified. We want Your name to be revered. Your name to be honored. Your kingdom come. We want Your kingdom to come in its fullness. We want Your kingdom to come and to drive out all other kingdoms. Your will be done. We want Your will to be done to the abolishment of every other will that is contrary to Your own. So those are the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And those are things that should concern us. As Christians, we should want God to do those things, obviously. But the final three petitions of the Lord's Prayer ask God to do things on our behalf, for our good. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's good to remember, isn't it, that the Lord is actually the author of the Lord's Prayer. That's a good thing to bear in mind. We know that because Jesus is the Lord, He is God in the flesh. He does nothing by accident. So we know that the Lord Jesus is setting an example here, a model for all prayer. God first, man second. Right? That's the pattern. God first, man second. God's glory before man's good. Our prayers don't need necessarily to follow the Lord's Prayer word for word or even thought for thought necessarily, but our prayers should always line up with these priorities. God first, man second. God's glory first, man's good second. So the main idea of today's sermon is this, that God cares about our needs very much, but He cares about His glory the most. God cares about our needs very much, but He cares about His glory the most. The fourth and fifth petitions of the Lord's Prayer, which we'll be looking at today, they request of God two types of provision. Two types of provision, physical provision and legal provision. And I'll explain what those mean as we go along here. Jesus tells His listeners to ask the Heavenly Father for these two types of provision because only when we see God as a caring God and a God capable of meeting these needs will we see Him as a God worthy of our full worship. So let's consider physical provision first. Physical provision. Though the Bible, all of the Bible, attests to this fact, we don't have to leave Matthew 6 to see God's care for our physical needs spelled out very, very explicitly. Jesus says in verse 8 of chapter 6, "Your Father knows what you need. Before you even ask Him, He knows what you need." That's not just a statement about God knowing our needs because He's the all-knowing God. It's not just an affirmation of God's omniscience. It's more than that. It's about God caring. It's about Him caring about our needs. He's not an indifferent God. He's not indifferent to us. He wants us to see Him as a caring God and then to seek to glorify Him as such. Look at verses 25 to 33 where Jesus says this, "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hear the priority there? Hear the priority? We're placing priority on God, God's glory. We're giving second place to our good. So if God already knows, if God already cares about, and if God already intends to meet our physical needs, then I guess the question we need to ask is, well, why is this petition even in here? Why does Jesus even say, ask God for daily bread? And the reason is that just as God's kingdom is already here, as I said last week, just as it is going to come in fullness and drive out the kingdom of Satan and drive out the kingdom of the world, whether we pray for it or not, and just as God's will is going to be accomplished as it always has been, apart from our praying for it, this petition doesn't cause God to give us anything. Praying, God, give us our daily bread, doesn't cause God to give us daily bread. But what it does is it helps us as His children to acknowledge that the things we have and the things we get are just that. They're gifts. They're gifts. John Calvin says it this way, "The fact that we ask that it be given us signifies that it is a simple and free gift of God. However it may come to us, even when it would seem to have been obtained from our own skill and diligence and supplied by our own hands, for it is by His blessing alone that our labors truly prosper." So take that, Bart Simpson. You see, more than just ungrateful, not acknowledging God as the provider of all things is unworshipful. It's irreverent. It's pride. It's satanic self-worship. This is why, even though we work, even though we work hard, and even though we make money, we go to the store and we spend that money on food, and we go to the department store and we spend our money on clothing, even though we write that check every month to the mortgage company, it's good for our souls and it's good for our faith to petition our Heavenly Father, give us what we need. God, give us what we need. And that can be hard. I admit it. That can be hard. It's hard for me sometimes. It's hard for me to remember that I need to ask God to give me and my family things because I fancy myself a hard worker. I fancy myself as someone who works hard and earns his money. I grew up with parents who taught me the value of hard work. I grew up working for my grandfather who taught me the value of hard work, building houses, day's wage for a day, honest day's work. I have those values, and I'm sure that most of you do too. It's hard for self-reliant, sweat-of-the-brow type people to remember that they need to still ask God to give us things and to remember that the things we have are gifts. This is why there's more to the petition here for physical needs than just acknowledging what we have and what we get as gifts. There's more to it. Jesus says to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Why doesn't He just say, okay, when you pray, pray, Father, give us our bread. It'd be a lot easier, it's fewer words. Just say, Father, give us our bread. Why does He add in there, give us this day our daily bread? And I believe it's because Jesus knows the human heart all too well. He knows our hearts. He knows the condition of our hearts. He knows how easily our deceitful hearts can twist prayers for needs into prayers of greed. Give us this day our daily bread reminds us that God doesn't just want to be a resource for us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want to just dump on us all the stuff we need and this big pile of stuff, food, clothes, house, cars. He doesn't just want to heap it all on us and say, okay, call me when it runs out. No, he wants the relationship that he has with us to be one of daily provision, daily sustenance. He wants us to recognize that we need him every day. That's how our faith grows strong, when it's exercised daily. Again, I like how John Calvin puts it. He says, the word today, or day by day, or this day, as it may be in some of your translations, as well as the adjective daily, here's what they do. They bridle the uncontrolled desire for fleeting things, with which we commonly burn without measure, and to which other evils are added. For if a greater abundance is at hand, we vainly pour it out upon pleasure, delights, and other sorts of excess. Therefore, we are bidden to ask only as much as is sufficient for our need from day to day, with this assurance, and don't miss this, that as our Heavenly Father nourishes us today, He will not fail us tomorrow. You see, what we do when we say to God, give us this day our daily bread, we acknowledge that He is the provider every single day of everything that we need, and everything that we have. We're recognizing that He's a faithful God. We're acknowledging that He is a God who is constant. There's no interruption in God's care and God's provision for those He loves. Food, clothing, shelter. We need these things, don't we? We need them every day. And if we don't have them, we start to suffer physically. But these aren't our deepest needs. Food, clothing, and shelter. Those are important things. But there are more important things. God at times lets His people go without physical provision. He does. Sure, He does. But He's not petty. God is not a petty God. All those droughts and all those famines that are recorded for us in the Bible, droughts and famines that God allowed to come upon His people, they're not owing to meanness on God's part. In fact, they're owing to mercy on God's part. Mercy. It was through the withholding of physical provision that God sought to show the Israelites their deeper need of spiritual and legal provision. And so we come to that second provision that's asked for here in this fifth petition, legal provision. Interestingly, when it comes to the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, these fourth, fifth, and sixth petitions that have to do with our needs, Jesus doesn't begin with what we would see as the most important one. We, being spiritual people, would understand, forgiveness, that's more important than food. Being kept from temptation, that's more important than food, isn't it? No, He starts with what we would see as probably the least important, food. Give us this day our daily bread. He begins with physical needs, knowing that if we consistently petition the Father, relying on Him to meet our physical needs, our hearts are going to be more inclined to acknowledge His caring capability of meeting our spiritual and legal need of forgiveness, of reconciliation with God and of reconciliation with other people who are made in His image. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now this petition stumped me a little bit this week. I mean, I don't know how many times I've read the Lord's Prayer over the years, a lot. But for some reason, when I sat down and began to study and begin to prepare for this sermon today, it stumped me. The thought that kept coming into my mind, the picture that I kept imagining was of a bunch of Christians kind of shaking their finger at God, saying, okay, God, we've forgiven our debtors. Now you forgive us. That's what I kept seeing. I know better than that. But that's what I kept imagining. A bunch of Christians kind of got God by the throat. Okay, God. Now I forgave Susie over here. Susie, you're not here, are you, today? No, not that Susie. Just I forgave her. Now you forgive me. For some reason, that's why I kept seeing it that way. And I know that that's not right. At first, you see, I think it's because I was missing the humility in Jesus' words. It's really more like this. God, okay, I've forgiven Susie or Joe or Jim or whoever. I've forgiven these people. Now, forgive me. That's the spirit of the prayer. That's the essence of the petition here. It's not a demand. It's not a demand. It's still a provision. It's a request. And the petition says, essentially, God, don't forgive us until we've forgiven others. God, don't forgive us until or unless we forgive. The two key words here are as and also. Forgive us. Let's walk through it here piece by piece. Forgive us. What tense is that? Present tense, right? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven. What tense is that? Past tense, past perfect tense, actually. What it means is there's a past action that has continuing results into the present. Have forgiven. So forgive us, Lord, now in the present tense, as we have also forgiven in the past tense those who are debtors to us. You hear the difference there? It's not shaking your finger at God saying, okay, God, I've done my part, now you forgive me. It's not that. It's not a self-justifying demand. It's a humble request. Are you, here's the question now that we need to ask, are you and am I, are we going to be willing to humbly ask God to withhold forgiveness from us until we forgive others? We need to not be too quick to answer that. We need to give some time to think about that, but we need to not be too long about answering that either. So, I got some resolution on the sense of Jesus' petition here. We shouldn't want God to forgive us until we forgive others. That's part of being a spiritually mature Christian. But I still needed some help. I was still a little stumped because I don't believe that those who haven't first experienced forgiveness from God can in any sincere way offer forgiveness to other people. I mean, surely forgiveness has to begin with God and not with us. That's what I thought. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That seems to make sense to me. That seems to capture the right order of things. God forgives me, and then having experienced forgiveness, I extend forgiveness to others. But how does that fit? How does that match up with what Jesus is saying in the Lord's Prayer, that we should ask God to withhold His forgiveness from us until we extend forgiveness to others? How do those two things fit together? It seems like a big contradiction. And I think the key is found back in the image of daily bread. The key to unlocking this conundrum of, okay, so does forgiveness start with me and then God will in turn forgive me, or does forgiveness begin with God and then I can extend forgiveness to... The key to unlocking that is going back to the idea of daily bread. Jesus promised Nicodemus in John 3:16. What did he promise him? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life, right? And he promised Lazarus' sister Martha in John 11:26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So we get it, right? We understand that God has given us life as Christ followers, a life that cannot end, a life that cannot be taken away from us. Yet we also understand that for now, for today, He sustains our earthly lives and our earthly bodies breath by breath by breath, right? Meal by meal by meal. Garment by garment by garment. House payment by house payment by house payment. By day to day provision of physical needs. That's how we are sustained. We have eternal life, but our earthly life is sustained daily. The same blood of Christ that purchased our everlasting life has also purchased our everlasting forgiveness. It's permanent. It can't be taken away from us. Our forgiveness is ours. Held in the palm of God's hand, it cannot be taken away by us or by anyone else. It's ours. But in the same way that the Father sustains our earthly lives by daily physical provision, He sustains our earthly spiritual lives by daily spiritual provision. By daily meeting our spiritual needs. Day to day truth from His Word. Day to day guidance by the Holy Spirit. Day-to-day wisdom. Day-to-day help in our witness. And day-to-day forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is ours. It's eternal in the heavens. But Christians must also manifest that forgiveness in our daily lives here on the earth. John the Apostle says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Present tense, all of it. Okay? John is talking to Christians here. He's talking not to unbelievers. He's talking to Christians. And he's not talking about that initial kind of confession that we make at our conversion. Yes, God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. He's not talking about that when he's talking here about confessing our sins and God forgiving us and cleansing us. He's talking about that ongoing need in our lives to confess our sins every day before God. Understanding and knowing that God will forgive us and cleanse us. When confession is daily, so is forgiveness. Don't you want to realize and enjoy God's forgiveness each and every day? When we ask the Father to withhold forgiveness from us until we forgive others, it's this smaller, daily dose of forgiveness that we're asking Him to withhold. Not our eternal forgiveness. That's ours. It's permanent. We're essentially asking God, look, God, don't let me experience the joy of forgiveness unless I'm willing to show it to others the same way you've shown it to me. And honestly, I mean, who would pray that? Who would pray a prayer like that? Besides someone who's experienced that grand eternal forgiveness. Who would pray this but someone who's desperately wanting to live with integrity and desperately wanting to avoid the kind of religious hypocrisy that Jesus is so sternly warning against in this passage. Who would pray that but that kind of person? I don't think anyone would pray it but someone who has experienced true forgiveness. Only those who forgive others can honestly claim to have been forgiven by God. Only those who show grace to others can lay any claim upon having received God's grace. Forgiving those who've wronged you in an effort to earn God's forgiveness is a sham. Going about and forgiving those who've wronged you in an effort and an attempt to earn God's forgiveness is fake forgiveness. It's not the real thing. True forgiveness flows from a clean conscience. True forgiveness flows from the clean conscience of those who are legally right with God through Christ, not from those who are hoping to get legally right with God. God's law demands perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness. That's a high demand. That's a tall order. But guess what? There's good news. Jesus met that demand perfectly on our behalf in His sinless life. He met that legal demand of perfect righteousness, demand we could never meet. And God's law also demands a perfect sacrifice for sins. Good news, more good news. Jesus met that demand as well. He met the legal demand of God's law for a perfect sacrifice for sin when He went to the cross. The way to get legally right with God is to receive by faith the forgiveness that He's offering you this very moment through Jesus. Through the merits of Christ, God cares very much about our needs. I hope you all know that. I hope you all embrace that truth. He cares for your needs. But I hope you also embrace the fact that He cares most about His glory. And nowhere is the glory of His grace more brilliantly displayed and more heartily enjoyed in this world than when we, His children, act like Him by imitating His one and only Son. And forgiving those who hurt us. God cares about food. God cares about clothing. And God cares about houses. Just think again about how He's provided for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. You're worth more than all of them, because you're made in His image. And you and I are made to reflect the glory of His Son. We might go to the supercenter and bring our cartload of groceries up to the self-pay or the person pay or whatever and unload them and pull out our hard-earned money and pay for those groceries. We might go to the checkout line at Kohl's and pay for our clothes with our hard-earned money. And we write that check every month to the mortgage company. Yes. But God provides. We might pay, but God provides everything we have. And He provides those physical things to us so that we can in turn point others to that for which we could never pay, the forgiveness that is ours through Christ. Your food, the clothes you wear, the house you live in, Let those things be a reminder to you. Let the daily provision of those things, those gifts, be a reminder to you of that most blessed gift God has given. Forgiveness through Christ. And the more that we pray to God and ask Him, God, give us this day our daily bread, I believe the more we'll be reminded how God gives us also today our daily forgiveness, our daily sustaining forgiveness. And if He's able to sustain us with that kind of forgiveness every day, then we surely are going to have some left over to give to those who've hurt us. And it's hard, but it's necessary. If we're not willing to share it, why would God want to give us any more? We're just keeping it all to ourselves. We ask God daily, forgive our debts, because we're forgiving others. It's a beautiful thing to think about, and I hope you'll spend some time meditating on God's provision for you, His physical provision, and also His spiritual and legal provision. You are right with God. You have a righteous standing before God through Jesus. Don't you want other people to experience that too? How will they ever have a clue that God is a forgiving God if the people of God aren't forgiving people? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Make Your name great among us. Make it even greater than it is right now. Magnify Your name among us, Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, let Your kingdom come and drive out all the selfish, satanic, sinful kingdoms of this world. Our Father who art in heaven, let Your will be done. Bind our wills to Yours, O God. Conform our wills to Yours, and banish every will that runs contrary to Yours. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day, Sunday, April 26th, 2015, our daily bread. Give us what we need today. Knowing, as John Calvin said, that He who's met our needs today will not fail us tomorrow. Let us not be greedy, Lord. Remind us that we're not needy, but keep us from becoming greedy. You've met all our needs, over and abundantly, ultimately through Jesus. So help us, Lord, to forgive. And withhold from us our forgiveness, our daily ration of forgiveness from You, if we are ever unwilling to forgive others. Don't let us taste the joy, the sweetness of forgiveness, unless we're willing to share it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, for His glory. Amen.